went with Jesus, and I'm going through.
God is still on the throne. Good to see all of you this evening. And I want to express our gratitude as having been the Speaker of the Week. I want to thank the sisters who aided my wife, Sister Brian and Sister Pat. As many of you know, my wife have a tinnitus. Tinnitus are constant or continuous ringing in the ear. And it's some days it's good and some days it's rough. We ask that you pray, if it's God's will, that he will restore her back to her normal health. We have had a glorious day, a glorious week. And I ask that you continue to pray for the Church of Christ. Pray for Brother Brown. And continue to work with him. Many times I've gone, I remind the church, don't work on the preacher, work with the preacher. And of course, look like here at Sandy Lane, you're working with your preacher. And that's a blessing. Because so many congregations now are falling apart. We have what we call the, I don't know, do you have one in Virginia, but we have what we call the state lectureship. And that's when preachers, well, you can come from anywhere, but mainly preachers from various cities of the state of Georgia come together and preach, workshop, but mainly preach. And the other day we had two young men, and they talked about what we talked about today, the baby boom, well, the old school, then the baby boom, then the millennium, then generation X, Y, then another generation. And we noticed that if we're not careful, they are bringing in the new stuff. Let me just, and by no means am I diminishing the millennium group, or if there's such thing, Generation X, because I look at it as people. But it was in the report, it was said that one of the speakers there was the young man that he's my sister congregation in Albany, where I obeyed the gospel. Brother Brian did a gospel meeting there in 06. And then 8 years later, he did one for me at where I was at US 19. And where Brother Brian was, the young man, he's 30, same age as my son. He's 38 years old, and he reported on the various generations. And when he got to the millennium, he said, now, millennium is work on a job, not all of them. And if they don't like it, they'll just up and quit. And then they'll go to another job. And if they don't like that job, they just quit. And he said, but here's the sad part. They do the church the same way. They'll come in, they'll stay a little while. If things don't go their way or what they believe is their way. And my thing is, what happened to us baby boomers? Did we get the word out to them that it's not about what they want? Is what thus saith the Lord. And if you are not careful, Sandy Lane, they will bring that generation right on in the church house. And I don't have anything, Brother Prentice, when they get the mic and boop, 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 boop. Now, I don't do it, but if that's what you do, I don't. It's okay, but if that's what you come to worship for, period, then you have the wrong concept of Christianity. And it's so much that is going on, and the reason it's going on because we older heads, the baby boomers specifically, we are sitting back and allowing this to be brought in the congregations. And it appears that we don't want to say anything because we have gotten caught up in numbers. Listen, Jesus loved numbers. Don't misunderstand me. But I told you the other Sunday. Now, my Bible reads, "For God so loved the world that he did not send a committee, but he sent his only begotten son." We got to be careful because committees will come together. And church, I heard a young man talking last night, Brother Brian. I don't see him tonight, but he met us there, and he had a stat, the statistics, and how many churches of Christ are closing per year, shutting a door. Back in the day, I went to a church closure this Sunday, this month, and then the next month I went over there, and Brother Mondaisy was the preacher. And I did another church, so I told my wife, I said, "This is new. I would never attend another church closure. I would attend a church opening." And of course, the same man that did the church closure, he's doing some strange things. And it's just bad, brothers and sisters, how the Lord's church is slowly diminishing because somebody is not speaking up and standing up. And that's why I want to commend Brother Brown. And you can call us old school all you want. Well, that's good. Because I would say the old way is the best way. Jeremiah talked about that in Jeremiah 6:16. He said, "Show me the old path, the old way, the good way." And this is what the church is all about. I want you now to meet me at Jeremiah, speaking in terms of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 5. And why are you turning? He said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein." And this is what's happening today. All right, Jeremiah, the 5th chapter. "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it." God is looking for the right man. What is or who is the right man? Jeremiah says, "Can you find a man that executed that calls a spade and an ace calls sin sin and don't dress it up?" But I realize that Paul said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go to such a one." Now, he gives you the qualification. How? "In the spirit of what? Considering yourself, lest you also be guilty or be tempted." Now, what did it say? That verse is based on a medical term. "Ye which are spiritual," it was talking about a doctor. The doctor is the one that's qualified. If a person would break a limb, that word "restore" comes from a medical background. And it says, if a person breaks a bone, don't go to Brother Brian. Brother Brian can pray for you, but he cannot set that bone back in place so it can grow properly. Brother Brian cannot restore. The word comes from a medical term meaning to set back in place so it can continue to grow. Now, look what he says. One that executeth judgment, that seeketh truth. That's the kind of man God is looking for. God is looking for men, Brother Green, that stand full square on his word. If the world turned their back on you, when I said the world, those in your world, if the church said, because you don't preach what I want to hear, because we cannot have the praise dance. Now let's talk about praise dance for just a moment. I just asked Brother Smiley a few moments ago. I said, Brother Smiley, you want to speak for me tonight? And he said, no, son. He said, it would take someone to help me get up those stairs. Now, if he needs help to get up the stairs, Brother Smiley would look a little funny trying to praise dance, wouldn't he? Now, if praise dance was a part of worship, then everybody, y'all with me? Everybody would have to praise dance. So, it ain't, see, Brother Smiley can still pray. Amen. He can still read scriptures. And guess what else? He can still worship God. But he cannot praise dance. So if Brother Smiley can't praise dance, why would we allow praise dance, you follow me, Prentice, to come in the house of God? Well, we need to get with it. We need to get that. We need to get hip. What do you mean hip? If you are a child of God and you are knowledgeable of the word of God, you are hip. We got to stand up. We are looking for the right man. Men, Brother Brown, that's going to stand. Men, that's going to preach the word of God. Don't even dress it up. Now, there are different styles of preaching. It doesn't matter. There are lecturers. There are what you call hoopaletics. Now, that came from the old home where the king would send out something like a mailman in Africa. And he would go through the community announcing, making the announcement that the king, or it doesn't have to be a king, whatever the event is about, he would go through the announcement and the community making the announcement. And sometimes he would say, there would be a gathering tonight at Brother Prentice's house. The next guy would come along. Oh, there will be a gathering. He's still getting the message. It doesn't matter about a man's style as long as he's preaching the book. Brother Brian has a smooth style, but he's preaching the book. Now, all of this boop, boop, and I'm not knocking boop, boop, but if that's what you are here for, or if you are not here because of the absence of boop, boop, maybe you do need to find another congregation. Now, if you want a boop, boop, that's up to you and the leadership. But if that's your reason for coming, then you don't need to boop, boop. You need to be taught. When I look for the right man, I look for those who qualify according to God's specifications. Simply put, what does God require? Let's see. Let's call the roll. and see. Did the men stand up? And listen, when I say four square, Prentice, I'm talking about, you speak the same thing in every direction. Don't get to the west, and then when you get to the north, you have a different story. I was blessed to be the speaker in Africa. And we were baptizing. Now, they don't have a baptistry. You have to baptize in the pasture. We baptizing late at night in the mud hole, in the water. But my point, what I preached in Albany, Georgia, I preached in South Africa. Well, I had the same Bible. That's what Paul meant when he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly, that's the key word, joined together. How? In the same mind and in the same judgment. If Brother Brian is preaching this way up here in Richmond, I should preach the same thing way down there in South Georgia. Why? We have the same book. Have you ever thought we have all of us preaching the same book and we have about 72 major denominations that preaches different things? Yet they say we all serving the same God. When I go in the classroom and it's a geography book and the teacher says, what's the capital of Virginia? And I hold my hand up and I say, Richmond. Better yet, Brother Burton said, Richmond. Now, do you think I say, well, I'm sorry, I just don't see it like that. And it's in the book. Now, do you think when I pass my paper in and Burton passes paper in, and he says, the capital of Richmond, Virginia, and he has Richmond. And then I come behind him and I say, Petersburg, because I like Petersburg. Do you think the teacher going to say, well, Petersburg is a nice city? The teacher going to mark it X, and do you think I'm going to come up there and say, I'm sorry, ma'am, I just don't see it like that. You know, she's going to tell me, what did the book say? Well, that's strange. You can ask, what did the book say? In an institution of man, but when it comes to the church or religion, we say, well, now that's the way you see it. Church of Christ, whatever you do, stick with the book. When I call Adam, God's first Adam, God made him, the Bible said, this only have I seen, that God made man upright, but they have sought out other inventions. What did they seek out? They sought things out that God told them to abstain from. When I look at Adam, I see Adam in the Garden of Eden. How is it? He's perfect and upright because God made him perfect and upright. And I have many things, I don't know about you, I don't know if you've given this thought, but I have many things that I want to walk around heaven. And I want to ask, how long was Adam in that garden before he got his wife? In Africa, they still, to this day, you have to buy or pay so much for your wife. Looked like to me they might need to bring that to America, but I'm going to go on. How long did Adam walk around? Or how long did he walk by that tree that God told him, out of all the trees in the garden, you can surely partake of, but the tree that's in the midst, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, abstain from. And he said, now, Adam, yet I have a job for you. Your job is to name all of the animals And something tells me, Brother Brian, that every morning Adam would get on the job. How long was Adam in that garden before the woman came along? Now, this is what I believe. This is just me. I believe that God gave Adam a place to stay. I believe God gave him a job. Don't sit around idle. Name all of the animals in the sea. You got a job, Adam. And I believe that Adam had to work for that woman. He didn't know it, but he was going about. And then God told him, said, now, whatever you call them, that's what they shall be. And then Adam was fine. But one thing God observed, that Adam observed. The bull had his heifer. The rooster had his hen. The goat had his shoat. You got to be from the country to know that. Now that's hogs. And Adam noticed, amen, Brother Green. Adam noticed that everything had a mate but him. So God said, it's not good that man should be alone. It ain't God good. So he provided man with woman. Put him to sleep, woke him up. Adam woke up, bones of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Why? Because she was taken out of man. And more, that man was happy. So then he tells the wife, honey, this is a beautiful place. Can't you smell the honeysuckles? Look at the sunflowers, how the sunflower just follows the sun. Look at everything. Look at the 4 o'clock. This bloomed around a certain time in the day, and we gave it the name 4 o'clock. Everything is beautiful. But honey, now we are to abstain from this tree. So Adam goes on. Then Eve was tempted. And when she was tempted, she was deceived. And when she was deceived, she tempted her husband, or enticed her husband, and he did eat. Then God comes to the place of their abode and says, Adam, where art thou? I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, that's a new word in the vocabulary. Naked? You were naked all the while, and it wasn't the issue then. Who told you you was naked? Look at the blame, the shift. The woman. I was doing fine until you gave me the woman. That's all he was saying. Woman, what have you done? The serpent. So then he penalized the man, the woman, and the serpent. Why did he penalize the man? He was henpecked. That tells us something. God says, for the husband it's all right, brother, you can say it, is the head of the wife. Look at the new generation. In this house, we don't talk like that. Oh, you'll be surprised, Brother Brian, I'll tell you, when you have Bible studies. We are so glad that Sister Salis obeyed the gospel this week. We have a job to do, and that is teach her. I said, are you married? No. If she's looking for a husband or expecting to get a husband, first thing we let her know. Now, when you get that man, get somebody that you don't mind submitting to. And then talk with him and tell him it's far more than just saying you're the head. Get out there and get a job. For the husband is the head. Why? Because God gave the woman the privilege, really, to stay home. She has a choice. Amen, Brother Jackson. That's Bible. But I can't use Adam. So I'm going on now and get Noah. Noah, I'm looking for a man that execute truth. looking for a man that stands and be obedient to my word. Noah, I got a job for you. And Noah did the job. But after the completion of the job, at the settling of the ark on Mount Ararat, Noah became a little excited. And he became a little inebriated. For those of you from the country, he became drunk. What if God had called on him right then? God would have had to wait on him to get sober. Noah, I can't use you because you're delaying the progress. So I'm still looking for the right man. Then I called to the scene by a man by the name of Abraham, the father of the faithful, a man that executed obedience to the degree where he was willing to offer his own son as a sacrifice. He passed the test with flying colors. Then he goes down in Egypt and he tells his wife, "Honey, now, if the king asks you who you are, tell him you're my sister." Wait a minute, Abraham. I thought you were the father of faith. So when you were at Mount Moriah, you had the faith. But now you down here in Africa. No, honey, you just tell them you're my sister. I can't use Abraham because he lied. And God needs someone that's going to stand four square. Brother Brian, I'm still looking for the right man. Then I call David. David, man after God's own heart. Good boy. Good man. Israel's greatest king. But David got carried away over what he saw. Taking a bath, another man's property. She came up, David laid with her, she became pregnant. David sent for his main man. He sent word to the general and tell general to send Uriah home. Give him a leave of absence. Come on in, Uriah. How's the war going? Listen, you're a good man. Go on down home. Enjoy your wife. And David didn't realize that was the providence of God. Uriah said, "Wait a minute. How in the world? See, look how God working. How in the world? Now, let me stop long enough to say this. He wasn't no brother. Amen. How in the world I'm going home and my brother about there possibly could be falling left and right?" So he didn't go home. David got the word, and David had to go in a quarterback hole and come up with another scheme. So then David said, "I'll tell you what, I'll stop this." He gave him a note and said, "Put him on the front line." Word came back, "Uriah is dead." Just as David got ready to take a sash, Jonathan came and said, "I got a story I want to tell you." And when David heard the story, David said, "You know what? Whoever would do such thing like that ought to be made to pay the fourfold. In fact, he ought to be killed." Jonathan said, Nathan said, "You are the man. I can't use David. He committed adultery, but he didn't stop there. He committed murder. I'm still looking for the right man." I call Solomon, the first wisest man. Now, if you are guilty of what these men are guilty of, get away from it. If you are guilty of being henpecked brothers, straighten up. If you are guilty of consuming too much alcohol, straighten up. If you are guilty of being a habitual liar, straighten up. If you're running around or your significant other, which should become your main, stop committing adultery. Straighten up. God can't use you like that. God is looking for somebody that executed judgment. I'm still looking. Solomon, the first wisest man. Wise man, so wise until when the women brought their babies there, Solomon said, give, you know the story, because of time, give the baby to the proper mother. And when the queen of Sheba heard about him, she said, the half, after she gave a visit. Oh, the story is beautiful. But because of the time, I'm still looking for the right man. Why? Because Solomon, being the number one, the wisest man, the first wisest man, turned from God and started worshiping out of God, trying to remain somewhat like our president, trying to establish a political alliance like that. More so than standing. What you mean, Solomon? Why do you are you going to leave the temple that you built and go following your wives, 700 wives and 300 concubines? You can't handle, if you can't handle them women, leave them. No. I leave God before I leave them. And he did. Now let me tell you something. When I read in the book of faith, Hall of Faith, I don't read Solomon. Because as wise as he was, he left and turned his back on God. I'm still looking for the right man. Then I call Samson. Samson, strongest man ever lived. But he was strong from neck down. I'm still looking for the right man. I call Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Oh, Jeremiah wrote and wrote and wrote. Jeremiah was so much of a prophet until when Isaiah said, "You, they're going to be captive." As Jeremiah come along and said, yeah, but even in that captivity, God is going to visit them. But then all of a sudden, when just before that, Jeremiah is preaching to them, and they turned their back on Jeremiah. And Jeremiah got so upset, he called God and said, listen, kill them. What's wrong, Jeremiah? I'm losing my cool. I can't use a man that get upset at the drop of a hat. Moses, who talked God out of killing the Jews in the wilderness. The same guy that talked God out of killing the Jews broke the stone that God gave him because he lost his cool. Moses, I can't use you either because you lose your cool to the degree that you struck the rock when you should have spoken to the rock. I'm still looking for the right man. Then finally, I call Job. Man that sure enough been through something. You know the story how he lost his health, his wealth, and his property. But Job got a little upset at one time and he said, cursed is the day I was born. Now, Job, you didn't make a day to curse it. So why are you cursing something that God gave all of us? You know what? Regardless of how difficult the day is, give God the glory. Because it always could be worse. I'm still looking for the right man. Brothers and sisters, when I go back, I find Adam. When I called on Adam, he was henpecked. Well, Brother Brian, what I'm doing, at the end of the ages, after Malachi, about 450 years transpired, between Malachi and Matthew. What you doing, Jesus? I'm looking for the right man. All down on the coast of Caesarea Philippi. What you doing, God? I'm looking for the right man. Way up in Cappadocia, I'm looking for the right man. Way down on the coast of Rome, I'm looking for the right man. Look at him, how he's looking. I'm going through all of God. See, if God went down the line and he found those men and every one of them had a flaw, that tells Jesse Jackson, you better walk a straight line. You better walk a chalk line because God will not use anything. What you doing, God? I'm still looking for the right man. Where are you? Where that? I'm coming in on the coast of Caesarea. What you doing, God? I'm looking for the right man. Well, now when I look back, God said, let me try it again. When I look back at Adam, he was henpecked. When I look back at Noah, he got drunk on me. When I look back at Abraham, he lied. When I look back at David, he committed adultery. When I look back at Solomon, he turned his back on me. When I look back at Samson, he was from stripped from neck down. When I look back at Jeremiah, he lost his cool. When I look back at Moses, he lost his cool. When I look back at Job, he lost his cool. What are you doing, God? I'm looking for the right man. But when I look back, I find that old Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save us from our sin. Well, they tell me right, Matthew, the first chapter, said now the birth of Christ was on this wise, that when Mary was espoused to Joseph, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, being a watchman now, Joseph thought that he had some company. But while he was asleep, Joseph, the Bible said that he was going to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things in his sleep, an angel visited him while he was asleep and said, Joseph, oh, Joseph, this thing that is inside of her is of the Holy Ghost. And when Joseph woke up out of his sleep, he had a pleasant sleep. He believed God. He said, now, let's go back to the prophet. Let's go back to the script. For this is that which had been written that said, behold, a child shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So he shall save his people from their sin. Brother Brian, I found the right man. His name is Jesus. Jesus didn't lose his cool. Jesus didn't get drunk. Jesus showed up, didn't bother a woman. Jesus didn't do like Samson. He was weak, strong. He was strong all the way. He didn't do like Jeremiah. See, we got a lot of preachers. We got a lot of deacons. We got a lot of elders, and we got a lot of members that lose their cool. I had a phone call last night from one of my old members, and she said, I call your daddy to tell you, my wife will tell you, I call you to tell you that I did some cussing today. I cussed 3 people out. I said, don't you press a dying pillar. She said, but I've already done that. I've already called them back and told them I was sorry, but they made me angry. I'm glad that we serve a God that's long-suffering. I'm glad that we serve a God that leaves the bottle alone. I'm glad that we serve a God that leaves the women alone. I'm glad that we serve a God that's long-suffering. I'm glad that we serve the God. Now that I got the right man, what are we going to do with him? Well, we're going to see that he went around doing good. Not any guile in his mouth. What's the purpose of the right man? He taught, he preached, he made those that were crippled to walk, he made the lame walk and the mute talk. But then the greatest thing that he did, when he went on the cross and he spilled his blood, as we said on last evening, he took his blood and bought his church. And from his blood, when we obey the gospel, we are cleansed by his blood, putting us in the church that he bought with his blood, giving me the opportunity to live eternally. So now he loves us so that when I do like any one of those guys that I call, when I commit adultery, if I ask God to forgive me, now don't get in the habit of it. He asked, when I ask God to forgive me, when I lose my cool, when I ask the right man to forgive me and mean it, he'll forgive me. When I get drunk, if I ask God to forgive me and repent of it, he'll forgive. I'm so glad that he wouldn't say, you know what, enough is enough. I'm through with you. But we serve a God that out of all of the fellas that we went down the line, we serve a God that he possessed perfect characteristics. And now all we need to do is live righteously. And listen, every time we slip and ask God to forgive us and mean it, now don't keep slipping. Don't keep falling down in the same hog pen now. Now get up. Now if you slip, if you go by alley on Fifth Avenue and the dog bites you, and the next day on Fifth Avenue the same dog bites you, something wrong with you. So now wake up, do what God would have you to do. And that is live for him. Look down the line, and out of all the great characters, not a one is worthy, not even Mother Mary, is worthy to for us to bow down to. The only one that we can bow down to is the right man. So since you know that, why don't you come now and become a part of what the right man bought with his blood as we together stand and sing our song of invitation.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty souls. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Now, every one of these areas, you know, I can tell you where men lost his cool and went back and found it. I can tell you where a man got drunk and some stuff happened to him. And then I can tell you about these two preachers. They were riding bicycles. One lived in the east. His congregation was in the west. And the one lived in the west. His congregation was in the east. And they were riding bicycles. That's before the cars. And every morning they would meet. Every Sunday morning. So this particular Sunday morning, the guy from the east met the guy from the west going to the east. And he noticed they didn't meet at the same spot. So he met him a little farther down the road. He said, man, what you doing walking? He said, man, somebody stole my bike. What? He said, I'll tell you what you do. When you get up there in that pulpit this morning, you preach the Ten Commandments. Now, when you get to the part that says, thou shalt not steal, you lay on it. Well, the next week, they met. He said, hey, I see you got your bike. He said, yeah. He said, did you preach those Ten Commandments? He said, yeah. He said, now, when you got to the one that said, thou shalt not steal, did you sure enough lay on it? He said, no, when I got to the one that said, thou shalt not commit adultery, I remember where I left my bike. Now, we got to be careful now. Every one of us have our flaws. Preachers, listen to me good. Preachers, we are human. Is that right? Help us. Elders are human. Is that right? Don't throw stumbling blocks and say, now watch him. God going to get you for it. If you don't think he'll get you, let me tell you something. Let me tell you how God worked in the Old Testament. God will use a heathen nation to whip his people, then turn right around and whip the heathen nation for whipping his people. Is that right? Don't stump, make God's men stumble. I told you a while ago, don't work on your preacher, work whip your preacher, your elders, and your deacon. I can tell you some more for each one of the characters about getting drunk and all of that. I can tell you about losing the cool, how men would lose the cool and did certain things. Just live righteously. Do like Sister Saley. Come to Jesus tonight. Get your life straight. Get your life right. God is looking to this day. God is looking for somebody to execute his judgments. As we sing our next stanza, you may be seated.
There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows while the waters roll. Let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul.